WGIL.
It's 5:13 in Galesburg's Evening News and WGIL. I would say this feels like a Monday, except as we all know, nobody knows what day of the week it is anymore. It's Wednesday. I'm glad you're with me tonight with Cameron Lyon in the newsroom. I'm Will Stevenson. As we look at different issues that might relate to COVID-19, there are some perhaps maybe more vulnerable Knox County or local residents that might be impacted that might actually be in public housing. So I wanted to talk about that tonight and how the operation is being affected overall, the operation that is being the Knox County Housing Authority. And Executive Director Derek Antoine joins me on the line live tonight. Derek, thanks so much for your time. How are you?
I'm doing well, Will. How are you?
I'm very well. Thanks so much for taking the time to talk with me tonight. I appreciate it. So when we were setting this up earlier, you told me you were trying to limit your trips outside the house. So that means, I would imagine, like a lot of entities, you're probably working a bit remotely these days, are you not?
That's correct, yeah. As an agency, we're doing as much as we can remotely. We are an essential business or an essential agency, being that we're a human service provider, and the human service being housing. So we are required to maintain operations, and we've been doing that on kind of a skeleton crew. So we've been doing, 2 to 3 days in the office, 2 to 3 days at home, that kind of thing, and accessing what we can remotely and doing what we can electronically.
I imagine, though, there probably still needs to be some sort of, and this is going to sound maybe not right, but contact with the public, or at least the tenants you have in the housing authority, at least on a sort of more personal basis?
Yeah, we still have, we're landlord to 424 units of rental housing. And being a landlord, you realize there's maintenance issues and things that would come up that require us to go in. And that, is good, kind of 24/7, 365, so to speak. So we've limited that interaction as much as we can to emergency work orders. And when I say emergency, we're not talking about just life-threatening situations, but lack of water, lack of, sanitation, if the toilets aren't flushing, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
HVAC, so if it were to be cold, it would be a heating issue, that type of thing. So we are limiting our connection to those tenants to those emergency situations. So routine work orders, inspections, all of those things have been suspended until we get the go ahead or the all clear from the state.
In terms of let's just say, maybe I'll just put it the more blunt way I can think of it. In terms of rent, there have been, stories throughout all this in the last month or so where there have been efforts to try to either help people make rent payments or try to push those off, maybe those sorts of things. And I think maybe that's more not public housing, but are you affected by some of that at all? How do you, maybe in a broader sense, deal with things like this, given that you have a somewhat vulnerable population here?
Sure. Yeah. Your rent is still going to be due. Our rent is due the first of each month. Folks that have experienced some type of economic hardship from this, we're working with those folks on an individual case-by-case basis.
Mm-hmm.
We're not evicting anybody during the state of emergency, and that's not to say that, it's carte blanche to violate the lease or in any way, but
right.
We figure the safest place for our families is with a roof over the head, so during this state of emergency, we're not evicting anybody. So as far as rent goes, they still have to pay it at some point. We're still expecting it to be due and payable on the first. But again, families that are impacted negatively, or they've lost their employment or something along those lines due to COVID, we're certainly working with.
Do you have a number of families right now that are kind of dealing with that struggle and have maybe lost jobs or lost hours at their jobs or things like, or lost pay because of COVID-19?
Oh, very much so. We've got a number of our working residents that are, in businesses that have either shut down due to lack of business or were deemed non-essential and shut down as a result of that. So I wouldn't say it's an overwhelming number, but we've certainly processed a number of rental reexaminations and rental adjustments on the basis of specifically COVID, you know, for folks that maybe worked at restaurants or folks that were, you know, we've got some nurses that were furloughed. We've just a number of, you know, daycare employees, just a number of different types of employment that has been affected by it. So we've done what we can. HUD's urging is that we, you know, we consider every available option within the regulations, and there are some things at play as far as rent hardships and things like that go. And we're doing that. And like I say, we're being very understanding. One of the things that's gone on and we've discussed is these economic stimulus payments that folks received and the extra money. I believe it's 600 per, I don't know if it's week or every 2 weeks or whatever they're getting for the unemployment. And we're not picking that up. We're not adding that to income. We're not addressing that at all. So that's income that they report to us, but it doesn't factor into the calculation. So we're doing what we can to be as flexible as we can.
How generally concerned are some of those families that you're dealing with? Do they think that they're going to get through this, or do they think that, or maybe is it a lot of uncertainty right now? What's kind of the vibe, I guess?
The vibe, like I say, we haven't been in as regular contact with our folks as we normally would. But, our folks are resilient. You know, they deal with, you know, hardships on a regular basis. So, you know, the concern obviously is from a health standpoint, but I think everybody's very hopeful that we're going to come out okay from this.
Have you, I know it's probably not my place to ask or your place to really know, but have you heard from residents who've dealt with this from a medical standpoint at this point?
Oddly enough, no, we really haven't.
Yeah.
I mean, I think our populations are certainly at risk for, we have a couple of our buildings that are certainly, you know, if it were to get into a high-rise environment, has the possibility of spreading pretty rapidly. So, we have not been made aware of any cases. We're not aware of any tenants that have been quarantined or anything like that. So it's gone pretty well.
You answered a little bit of this a minute or so ago, but let me have you talk a little more. What else are you hearing from HUD, the Department of Housing and Urban Development, about how to handle this and maybe how they're handling all of this?
Yeah, I mean, like every federal agency, they've been given directives. They've been given, you know, regulatory authority to issue waivers. You and I have talked before in the past about the requirements of living in public housing,
yeah,
the amount of, you know, kind of bureaucratic red tape, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
We're required to do annual reexaminations where we have things that we have to submit on an annual basis, inspections, all of these types of things. And through the CARES Act, HUD has been given that regulatory authority to issue waivers and allow PHAs the flexibility to work within the local environment. So HUD's been very supportive. HUD has, we're appreciative of the extension to deadlines and things like that. So we're, like I say, we're HUD to me, to us at the Knox County Housing Authority, HUD has been very, very good partners through this.
In terms of projects or infrastructure or anything like that, what were you working on before more or less everything had to come kind of to a screeching halt here in the last 5-6 weeks?
Yeah, if you remember the last time Cheryl and I were on in the studio there, we are going through a major modification to some of our sites for accessibility for folks with disabilities. And we were moving into phase three of that, and we have phase three monies ready to go as soon as we can. So that's looking at making our community spaces more accessible, as well as the offices and things like that. So that was a big one. We've got some roof repair at Moon Towers we were looking at handling, playground equipment on the family sites where we're getting geared up to change that all out, as well as another initiative that I'm working on, which is bringing Wi-Fi internet into the homes of our public housing residents.
Mm.
And all
mm-hmm.
of those things now, unfortunately, are on hold until we can have folks back out to get the work done.
You know, that Wi-Fi aspect seems like it might be a good thing, especially given that I think District 205 found that maybe there were a couple hundred students that didn't have any access to sort of either technology or Wi-Fi to do some of these remote learning assignments. So they essentially had to get paper assignments as the e-learning started here.
That's right. And you know, and this was something that was kind of put on our radar back under the Obama administration.
Yeah.
And one of the things that Obama's folks had said was that the internet is as important a utility as electricity and heat and all these other things, given the digital world that we live in. And COVID has really brought that to the forefront as far as opportunity goes, because students that have access to the internet and have access to those programs have those opportunities now, and students don't. Aren't having that same opportunity. And we've taken a real serious look at that. And unfortunately, you know, COVID has thrust this situation upon us, but certainly helps us identify a glaring need in getting this technology into the hands of the families that could use it.
All right, I'm about out of time, Derek, but is there anything either happening or not happening otherwise now for you because of all this?
Now, like I say, you know, fortunately, I've got an outstanding staff that is doing what they can from the office as well as from home. You know, we really haven't run into crisis situations yet, thank goodness, because we're, you know, this is one of those things, Will, where you're not ready for it and it just happens and you kind of fumble your way through it. And that's what we're doing. And everybody from the staff to the residents to HUD and everybody else, it's all come together pretty well for us. So given a situation that could be a lot worse, I'm very grateful for the position that we're in and what we've still been able to do.
You've been around this community for a while, and I think we've talked a little bit about that sort of thing from time to time, Derek. Has this felt as unusual to you as it's felt to me over the last month?
Oh, absolutely. You know, we were just talking about it yesterday. You know, all the terms that are becoming commonplace, the unprecedented and the new normal and all of these things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just like it really is. We're just faced with situations that we haven't been faced with before. It's changed everything that we do and how we do it. And, strange is a good word, Will.
All right. Yeah, I agree. But I could probably talk for an hour on that, but I'm not going to. Derek Antoine, Executive Director of the Knox County Housing Authority, thanks so much for your time, and thanks for the good work you're doing for the community. And hopefully we get back to, I would like the old normal at this point. Maybe that's just me.
You and me both.
Derek, thanks so much.
Thanks, Will. Take care.